One night, one chip, 1 million Bibles. It's the greatest Bible smuggling adventure of all time, and it happened in China. Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. More than 25 years ago, one of the greatest adventures and missions took place on the moonlit beaches of China. And today, you're going to hear about it. Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio. One of the greatest stories in the history of Christian evangelism is an event known as Project Pearl. It involved floating 1 million Bibles from a custom-designed barge at sea onto the Chinese beach in the middle of the night. Terry Madison, former president of Open Doors USA, was an integral part of the planning and operations. He'll be sharing his story with us, both today and tomorrow. This story, with its cloak and dagger suspense, demonstrates how heroic and adventurous God's servants can be, and that nothing should stop God's word from reaching the hearts and hands of those ready to receive it. Here's Norm with his good friend, Terry Madison.
There is an incredible story that, it's so incredible it hardly seems true, but we know it's true, known as Project Pearl. And you were involved in that. And I wonder, Terry, if you would mind telling our listeners about it. I don't think they will ever have heard anything quite like this.
Project Pearl really goes back prior to its accomplishment in June 18th of 1981, Norm. But prior to that time, Brother Andrew had been to China in the early 1960s and had a long association with that country, and particularly the Christians there. My family and I have been in Asia since 1968, but in 1977, I joined the Ministry of Open Doors with Brother Andrew. Chairman Mao's Red Guard and Little Red Book, it had such an impact and influence in that country in the 50s and 60s and early 70s. And it was difficult in those days to get any word from the church at all. Far East Broadcasting Company was broadcasting in, but getting no letters out. We were sending teams in, but didn't dare take any scriptures trying to identify and find if there was much of a church left there. And to our wonderful amazement, there was a church there, but they had an incredible need. And the need in those days, and continues to be today, was for God's holy word. And I remember in 1977, when we sent in a team with about a dozen Bibles or so, and we prayed and prayed that the Lord would get those through the border. And they came back, the team came back successful and said the church inside wants more, obviously more than a dozen that we could send. And the next time we were able to deliver 1,000. And that was a quantum leap. Some months later, we were able to deliver in a special 10-day period 30,000 Bibles. We called it Project Rainbow. And we had couriers from all over the world joining us. And by that time, we'd worked out a number of ways to get God's word into China in an unofficial way.
Terry, could I just interrupt and say there were obviously people then within China who were able to receive the Bibles and supervise their distribution and placement all around the country. Is that right?
So true. We have always made a point of not dumping and running. This is designated number of Bibles to designated believers that we've already met in previous visits. They have told us what they need, and we've made arrangements, careful arrangements, secure arrangements to deliver God's word in the version, size, and type that they require. Then in late 1979, it was December actually of 1979, we got a request back from the church in China, the house church in China, asking us, not thanking us for the 30,000, but saying the need is so incredible. Next time, would you bring 1 million Bibles? Well, you know, we go back to just a couple years earlier with a dozen and then 1,000 and 30,000. Suddenly now they're asking for 1 million. I don't know if you've ever seen 1 million Bibles, Norm, in one place at one time.
Never.
But not many of us have. I mean, we're talking major sizes of geography here just to store 1 million Bibles. And to take them to a place where it's restricted and not really officially wanted was a major challenge. And the Lord gave us about 7 different ways to get 1 million Bibles to China.
Terry, let me just ask you this before you get into that. What was your attitude when you heard this request? Send us 1 million Bibles. Did you say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get 1 million Bibles into China? Or did you say, that is absolutely impossible.
I think more the latter. I mean, we looked at each other almost in stunned silence, and there were many days of sitting around a large table in Manila in our office, reading the scripture, waiting on the Lord, on our knees, praying, listening for the voice of the Lord. This was a quantum leap, and we were just a small team, and the request was so large, and we felt so insignificant. And I think that's where the Lord sort of comes and says, well, I'll take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And we were very foolish, and we decided to go ahead and do it based on faith.
When you say that you were just a small team, there were very few of you. Do you recall about how many there were?
There would have been 7, 8, or 9 of us somewhere in that neighborhood working out of our office. Now, we had lots of partners, and we were working very closely by that time with the house church movement in China. But in terms of just people who could plan and execute this, we were talking a very small number. We're talking less than the 12 spies that went into the promised land.
Right. Well, you know, just to carry that into maybe a principle of Christian living, God stretches us, doesn't he? At times. And the idea of getting 1 million Bibles into China, even today at one time, sounds to me to be impossible.
The element of surprise, it had never been done before. And in retrospect, that's probably what saved this when we decided to do it. And I'll be glad to share that story with you, Norm. But Project Pearl came out of a request from the church inside to those of us who had already begun the good work of Bible delivery. And we had a track record with them. They knew they could trust us. We knew we could trust them to see that the Bibles got into the hands of believers beyond the coastal regions, up into the interior and into the rural areas. And this was an act of faith on both parties' part. Both groups, those of us from the outside, open doors, and those on the inside, put ourselves at considerable risk to do this. The size and the number, the magnitude of the project was really so large that we put a lot of ourselves on the line to do it.
It sounds like you might have considered parachuting them in or doing something of that sort. But the Lord gave you a very novel idea, didn't he?
The bottom line was we felt that the best opportunity we had, certainly for the first million, and we've delivered many millions since, but that first initial million to sort of jumpstart the church in China was to take it by sea. It's easy to transport what turned out to be 234 tons of Bibles. By sea seemed a prudent and wise way to do it. And to do that, we to make a long, complex 18-month story short enough to put into our short radio broadcast, we purchased a tug, a seagoing tug, and I had a special barge built, a barge that we could partially submerge into the water. And that barge was built to hold the 234 tons of Bibles, which we've been able to map out how much space we would need to do that. And then we began to recruit a team from around the world that were willing to sort of trust God for the impossible, be co-workers with the Lord to do something of significance for a body of believers that we would never personally meet, apart from those that we, in a sense, met there on the shore, and I'll share that a little later. But it was an act of faith on the part of a small group of Daniels, as it were, on one side, and brave men and women on the other side, who had to be able to distribute that million Bibles throughout the country in a very short period of time. Although it took a great deal of faith on all of our parts, my particular favorite faith character was the captain of our tugboat, who was a missionary, a man of the sea, a deep sea diver, a former fireman from here in Southern California, and a man who had a great belief that we could do this, the Lord enabling us. Now, one of the great places where he exercised his faith was to believe that 19 men such as myself, who was not a sea person, a seaman, would be able to become a crew member and pull this thing off. And you can imagine, we're talking the South China Sea, and as it turned out, it was typhoon season when we finally pulled this thing off. It was the last good month we could do it, and the fact that he had to turn us into a seagoing crew, delivering goods to a shore in an extracurricular way, couldn't just pull up to a wharf somewhere and unload these things, and he had faith to believe that he could do that, and we had faith in him and in the Lord that we together could do something great for the church in China.
You know, Terry, I don't think that many of our listeners know, although those who listen are beginning to find out, how inventive and how adventurous so much ministry in the name of Jesus and for the cause of Christ's kingdom really is. It's going on around the world today. When we think of ministry, we think of churches and pews, and we think of kind of your typical, ordinary religious life that we have in America. But all around the world, there are people who are incredibly inventive, tremendously courageous and adventurous who are willing to do just about anything that it takes for Jesus Christ, often at the risk of their own lives.
That is so true, and they're not all American.
Yeah.
So many of them are national brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have the wealth and all of the things that come our way just by virtue of being Americans. And they're there in hard and difficult places, and I don't know how they do it, but on shoestring budgets and pulling things together that we wouldn't even consider being worthy of whatever, they're able to pull things together. And working with those kinds of people have allowed us at Open Doors to do these kind of things.
Now, Terry, where you've left us here, we're in, as I understand it, the territorial waters of China, right, in the 1980s, with 1 million Bibles on a partially submerged barge being pulled by a tugboat of some sort. How did you get the 1 million Bibles from that point out in the sea onto the land of mainland China?
One small correction, Norm. The barge hadn't been submerged at that point.
Oh, okay.
We're dragging it up the coast from Hong Kong 24 hours a day and night, 4 hours on, 4 hours off shift.
How many days, by the way?
As I recall, it was about 4 days, going up towards Swatow, which is across the channel from Taiwan, and but in international waters. And I remember the day that we hung a left, as it were, turned to port, and began to go toward the mainland. And at the point mid-afternoon, when the captain said, "We've just crossed the 12-mile international limit, we are now in Chinese waters." And it was still daylight. And the secret behind this whole plan, Norm, was that we could only do it about 3 days each month because we needed full moon, high tide. And so that's why we could only do this expedition of extracurricular Bible delivery when the conditions were right. And this was the last good month until hurricane season was over around November, December. This was in June. So once we put to sea, this tugboat was very powerful, but it only went about 4 miles an hour. And so we couldn't outrun anything. Once we were out into the mid-ocean there, we were dependent upon the Lord to control the waves, even as the early disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. Well, we had a much larger sea to cross. Yeah. And day and night, we went up the coast, dragging the barge behind us, turning left, going towards Swatow in the shipping channel, and moving toward the coast. And I have some wonderful pictures of the sunset that took place that evening in Asia, as in the tropics everywhere. The sun drops quickly, and suddenly it's night. There's not a long afterglow. And we were looking for that night because we wanted to disappear, as it were, into the darkness. And at the appointed time, about 9 o'clock in the evening, getting off the shipping lanes and heading toward a Chinese fishing village, largely populated by Christians. And that was part, of, again, of the design. They had offered their 200-yard beach as a place to unload the Bibles. And around 9 o'clock at night, there was a flash at one side of the beach and a flash on the other. It gave us the length of the beach, and we sort of headed for the middle, did a U-turn, and the barge swung around behind us. We dropped our anchors, killed the motors. We were dead in the water. And in the next 3, 4, 5 hours, we offloaded those Bibles. But before we began to do that, we had begun to submerge the barge, not underwater, but to bring it down so that when the electric doors were released and they fell open, the seawater rushed in to raise the 254 one-ton waterproof packages of Bibles. They had all been roped together and wrapped in waterproof packaging. And the design was that we would shove them out into the water like rafts.
It's known as Project Pearl, and it's a true story. We'll be back with Terry Madison and Norm with more on how they pulled it off in a moment. Compassion Radio has active projects all around the world. This month, we focus on the needs of Christian believers in China. The Christian church in China is under unprecedented attack by the communist government. So, what's our response? Well, when the Chinese church begs for more Bibles to replace the ones lost to their oppressive government, can we rightly tell them no? Of course not. And here's how we're helping Chinese Christians to hold onto hope. Compassion Radio's God's Word for China campaign. We're challenging our partners to give generously to bring the Word of God back to China.
A new, well-made Bible placed into the hands of an excited, expectant believer costs only $6. So your gift of $30 can provide 5 Bibles. $60 could provide 10 Bibles. $120 provides 20 brand new Bibles for Christian believers, and so on.
This is one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to impact China at a crucial time in history. We also have available a special gift as a thank you for your generous support of Compassion Radio this month.
Just ask for it when you call or write to us with your gift. We can be reached at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, we can be reached on the Internet 24-7 at CompassionRadio.com. And now back to Norm with his special guest, Terry Madison.
We had begun to submerge the barge, not underwater, but to bring it down so that when the electric doors were released and they fell open, the seawater rushed in to raise the 254 one-ton waterproof packages of Bibles. They would all been roped together and wrapped in waterproof packaging, and the design was that we would shove them out into the water like rafts. Floating rafts, I'm guessing at the proportions now, probably about 8 feet wide, 12 feet long, and about 2 feet thick. Like slices of bread, 254 slices of bread in the barge, standing on end. And so we had most of the 20 men on the barge trying to push the first loaf of bread, as we called it, into the water. The unfortunate thing that we hadn't planned on was that in the sea journey up the coast and the joggling of the boat in the water and so on, that they had packed together. And there was some very anxious moments there when about 16 guys put their shoulder to that first one-ton package and it wouldn't budge. We're now dead in the water. They're just off the coast, and there in the distance we can see the brothers and sisters on the beach waiting for God's word to arrive. And finally, with a mighty heave, that first one-ton raft of Bibles hit the water and didn't sink. That was also a concern to us. We'd been told it would float, and by God's grace and physics it did. And we began to then push them out in groups of six, seven, eight at a time. And we had these little French Zodiac sort of commando boats with very powerful engines. And we would back up to these one-ton parcels, rope them onto a stanchion at the back of the boat, and then tow them toward land. And there on the coast, right there on the beach, not 5,000 as they had said they would bring, but 20,000 believers. Oh. And I mean, I saw them. I didn't count them, but that was their number, not ours. And good news has a way of getting around. And that good news had gone out all over China. The Bibles are coming. The Bibles are coming. And instead of sending one or two per fellowship and so on, they'd ended up, everybody was coming to get God's word. And it was a great reminder to us that what joy the arrival of God's word for anyone brings, but particularly for those who can't get it. And when the word went out that Bibles were on the way, they were there. And because there were so many Christians there for us, they would wade out into the water up to their chests. And I was in one of these little Zodiac boats, and as we got abreast of these Christians who'd waded out in sort of a daisy chain, I would just toss them a rope. I was 3 or 4 feet from them. I could have touched them, shaken their hand, but gave them the rope. And then because there were so many of them, they would just horse this one-ton package up on the beach. Now remember, we're working by moonlight. That was part of the design, and high tide, which meant that the tide was moving up the beach, being sort of a gentle push to these packages up the beach, and it was very helpful as a mobilizing force to get these 254 packages up on the beach. We had supplied to the Christians very large shears that they would just rip open the plastic, and inside were 50-pound boxes of Bibles, waterproof boxes, and they then, with multiple chains, so many, you couldn't even count the number of these chains, up the beach, through the trees, into what we were told was where all the bicycles were, the tractors, the cars, the buses, the trucks that they had borrowed from other places where they'd come from. They'd all managed to have some form of transportation, but there were thousands of bicycles there. And in China, as we know, the boxes go over the front wheel, over the back wheel, and away they went.
Terry, I'm sure that this thought is occurring to those who are listening to this incredible story. How could it be that 20,000 people could gather on a beach like that in a fishing village with this barge there and 254 tons of Bibles floating to shore, being pulled ashore? How could this go unnoticed by the communist authorities there in the village?
Well, you know, Brother Andrew has what he calls the smuggler's prayer. And those of your listeners who've read God's Smuggler or heard Andrew speak may have heard him say that the prayer goes to this effect: Lord, when you were on this earth, you made blind eyes to see. And now I'm asking you to make seeing eyes blind and do it now. And that was sort of our prayer. And it had been an 18-month prayer that the Lord would bring us safely there. there was good news and bad news. The good news is we had so many helpers on the beach, 20,000, not 5,000. But because of that extraordinarily large group of people who shouldn't have been there in the first place, it did draw attraction from some of the local fishermen who were not Christian, many of whom joined in and helped out. They thought, well, whatever's going on here looks good to us. It's all our neighbors and friends are doing it. But somewhere in the evening hours, we're not sure just quite when, somebody had a change of heart or decided they better let the authorities in on this. And so they had to go into town. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, long after most of the Bibles, but not all, had left the beach and had left the area, the military showed up, the militia, finding some boxes on the beach, ripped them open to find out what was there. And when they saw it was the Bible, they were really upset, as you can imagine. So they tried to burn them. Well, if you've ever tried to burn tightly packed paper, there's no oxygen, there's no air, and so they just charred the edges. And then they dumped kerosene over, or gasoline, and tried it again. And again, it just burned around the fringes. So finally, out of frustration, we were told, they ripped the boxes open and dumped them into the sea. That will wash away. Yeah. Well, what they'd forgotten about, of course, was this was a predominantly Christian village, fishing village. And so the fishermen, as soon as the authorities had gone, got their nets out and captured most of these Bibles. And they said that for the next 2 weeks, the tile roofs along that whole bay area were just white with paper because they put the Bibles on the rooftops and let them air dry and dry from the sunshine. And then we later found out that a number of these non-Christians, thinking whatever's in these boxes must be precious, pirated some of them away to their homes. And when the authorities came, they already knew who the Christians were because this was a well-known Christian village. They went from home to home of the Christians looking for the Bibles. Well, of course, they weren't there. They didn't go to the non-Christians because they didn't think, what would they have them for? Yeah. So weeks later, after all the trouble has passed and those who had been arrested and some severely beaten up had returned and some were still in jail, but things had settled down, the non-Christians began to come out of the woodwork to say, you know those boxes that you had here on the beach a few weeks ago? We've got 10 of those at home. So we bought them back for pennies, absolutely pennies. We wrote that off as storage fees, as it were. And so even there, so many of the Bibles were reclaimed, either through sun-drying or through storage of those who just thought they would take whatever we had to offer and take some of that home with them, unbeknownst to them, becoming saviors of God's Word.
There'll be much more in Project Pearl tomorrow as Norm welcomes back his guest, Terry Madison. So plan to tune in then.
And still today, we want to welcome you into our homes, into our very lives, to feel your presence now as years ago, this tiny child, this precious babe. Jesus, Jesus, blessed Lord, thou art. All men shall praise you, King.
This powerful musical selection is Child of Love from our special premium offering, The Gift of Love. It's available to you with your gift of support of $25 or more. If you'd like a copy, let us know when you call or write today.
For more than a decade now, Compassion Radio partners like you have been sending Chinese language Bibles into the world's most populous nation, fueling the greatest church growth movement in the history of Christianity. To date, our contribution is approaching 500,000 Bibles. When you consider that for every Bible donated, an estimated 5 people are won to faith in Christ, the impact of our Bibles for China project is enormous. So I'm asking you to give as generously as you can, even sacrificially, to provide thousands of these specially designed Bibles in China. Just imagine what your gift will accomplish for Christ's kingdom. My friend, this is the world's best investment. So mail or call in or use our website to make your gift today. You'll be glad that you did.
Our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Bram Floria. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow for part 2 of Project Pearl on Compassion Radio.